3 years ago, I just moved into a brand new neighborhood, and I lived there for about 3 weeks when one night I woke up down on the couch. I'd fallen asleep watching ESPN, which happens on more nights than I care to admit, and it was totally dark. The TV had automatically shut off, and I look at the clock, and it said 2 a.m., and I thought, I better go to bed. So I get up, kind of in a slumber, walk up the stairs, and I get to the landing, and we have a window facing out across the street, and I see this orange glow kind of dancing. And I thought, surely that's not what I think it is. And so I, you know, rub my eyes and I take a look again. And sure enough, there is a huge fire next to the driveway of my neighbors right across the street. And so instantly my adrenaline starts pumping. I just run down the stairs. I run outside, take a few steps across the street, and I look. No one's out there. It's 2 a.m. It's eerily quiet except for the roar of a fire. Honestly, flames probably 10 feet high. And I'm just like, what is going on? And, you know, I just woke up, it's 2 a.m., my brain's trying to catch up with what's happening. And I thought, you know what, I have a few fire extinguishers in the house, let me go get them. And I run inside and I go underneath the kitchen sink. They're not there. We had just moved. Things were still in boxes. I didn't know where they were. So I grabbed the phone to call 911 and I just grabbed my cell phone and I run out back outside. But as I get closer to the fire across the street at my neighbor's house, I realize it's kind of contained. And I thought, rather than bother the firemen, if I could find a hose, you know, I can probably put this out. Again, I clearly wasn't thinking correctly. And so I go to my neighbor's door, I bang on it, boom, 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 boom. Again, I'd lived there for 3 weeks at this point. So I bang on his door, nobody answers. I'm kind of, you know, I'm like, well, let me see if I can find, you know, where his hose is, because there were no cars parked in his driveway, because what had happened is he had had a contractor there building a pergola, and all this wood had been stained earlier that day on their driveway, and then they had just taken it all and put it in a huge pile off to the side of the driveway, and so the flames weren't really, you know, there was nothing, a car in danger, and they weren't bouncing onto the house or even the house next door, and so I hop off of his porch, but his hose, I saw, was kind of behind some bushes off to the side of the porch, and of course, right as I'm down crouched in the bushes next to his front door, he angrily opens the door, as you can imagine, at 2:15. And he doesn't look to the right where the fire is. He looks to the left at the creepy neighbor in the bushes. And I'm, you know, and he's like, what are you doing? And I just held up the hose and I pointed. I said, fire. And he turned and looked. And then he said words you can't say in church after that. I handed him the hose. He took off running for the fire. I turned on the water. We go over there. He's dousing. He's like, I got another hose in the back. He hands me that hose. Gets another one from the backyard, reaches all the way around, and the two of us, it was like we were firemen. It was a pretty awesome moment. And I actually had a thought to myself. I was like, I should make a calendar after this. It's pretty, just random thoughts you have in those adrenaline moments. And we actually, it took about 5 minutes to get the flames down. It was that big of a fire. It was that intense. And when the, you know, when we finally started calming down, we're both standing there, and we start to look at each other, and it was like, we're both in our boxers. It's like, welcome to the neighborhood. Looks like we're going to be real close friends after this. And we ended up kind of investigating, because, I mean, it took a long time to get the coals of that fire out, because it was so big, it was so intense. And what we discovered is that off to the side, right where the, you know, kind of this big char mark was on his driveway and then part of the ground next to it, was a burnt can of wood stainer. And eventually what we discovered was that a rag had been left out that had the stain on it, and on the can it says that you have to properly dispose of this rag or it can self-combust. And it was in the middle of the summer, and a little rag with just a little bit of wood stain left on it had sat out, and at one point in the night, it had just self-combusted, started with a small spark, turned into just the rag setting on fire, which eventually set all the wood that had just been stained earlier that day on fire, and eventually the can full of wood stain itself. It was unintentional, maybe, you know, obviously you could say a little bit careless, but that one little act started a spark that burned the rag, that burned the rest of the wood. And I still, to this day, like to remind him, had I not seen it, it would have burned your house down, right? And it was just that, but it started with a little spark. And this idea of a little spark that can turn into a whole lot of devastation is the exact word picture that the Bible uses to help us understand the power of our words, the power of our tongue. And this metaphor is found in the book of James, which everybody grab that outline of your program. I want you to follow along or click over there on notes. Read James chapter 3 this week, if you would. That's your Bible homework. Read the whole chapter because the whole thing talks about our mouth, our tongue, the words that we speak. He uses lots of metaphors to help us understand the power of our tongue, the importance of our words. But in verse chapter 5, he jumps to this idea of a spark and a fire. Look how he says it. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a whole forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do just that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Ooh, those are some pretty strong words. And James is making the point here that our words have weight, that our words matter, that our words have the power of life, but yet they also have the power of death. Our words can bring hope and healing, or our words can cause hurt. Our words can bring clarity and calm down a situation. Or our words are like throwing gasoline on the situation. Or our words can cause confusion. That's what he's saying. I was reminded of this just last Sunday night when I accidentally just changed one word in a sentence that changed the entire meaning of what I was trying to say. Last Sunday night, right here in Chula Vista, we had East Lake Inn, which is a party for all of our members and volunteers, people that are all in around here. And I was trying to say that you can drop off and pick up kids, but I just changed one little word, and it changed the whole meaning. So enjoy my pain. Go ahead and watch this. Next weekend, that will be open where not only, you know, if you're dropping kids and picking them off, We don't want to pick off kids. That's actually not what we do.
Picking them off.
That's hilarious.
That's good.
Oh, gosh.
Picking them off. That's great. Just the unruly ones.
Oh, yeah, just the bad, just the naughty ones.
Oh. I would have never survived our children's ministry.
Words are important. What we say matters. And I'm sure we all can think of moments ourselves. So we had a slip of the tongue, you know, like we meant to say one thing and we said another. And when it's a slip of the tongue, those are kind of ha-ha funny moments. We can laugh it out. But when we say a word that wounds, or when we say a word that hurts, or when even the tone of our words are in anger or bitterness or resentment or complaining or harsh, man, that can be a spark that sets a fire that causes a whole lot of devastation in a relationship. The truth is, most relationships, if you trace back, just like firemen do, they study, okay, when a forest fire happens or a house fire happens, they go, how did it start? Where was the origin of this? And if you look at most relationships that blow up, marriages that end, business partnerships that are no longer together, I mean, if you look at even the history of wars, and you say, man, what caused people to do this much damage and this much devastation? You can almost always trace it back to words. That it started when someone said this or slandered that or threatened that or made this boastful statement, and then the other side had to come back a little more. And we see this happening all over in our culture and our world right now, don't we? The importance of words. And so all of us have been on the side of we've said things that we were like, man, where did that come from? why did I say that? And we've also been on the receiving side of that. And this isn't a new problem. This is why James, centuries ago, wrote this to the early church. James is the half-brother of Jesus, the author of this. He was a leader in the Jerusalem church, and he didn't just write this to the Jerusalem Christians. He really wrote this to all first century Christians. And so this is a problem that they had as well, controlling their tongue, watching their words. And so he goes on to describe this struggle and this problem this way. Let's jump to verse 9 through 12. Here's what he says. Ironically, this same tongue can be both an instrument of blessing to our Lord and Father and a weapon that hurls curses upon others who are created in God's own image. One mouth streams forth both blessings and curses. My brothers and sisters, this is not how it should be. Does a spring gush crystal clear fresh water and then moments later spurt out bitter salt water? My brothers and sisters, does a fig tree produce olives? Is there a grapevine capable of growing figs? Can salt water give way to fresh water? I'll be honest with you, this is one of those topics that as I begin studying this week and going, all right, I know I'm speaking and we're in a word series. What's my topic that I'm going to give this week? When I saw it, I was like, ah, crap, because I suck at this. Like as I read this scripture passage, I thought, wow, I do what that scripture verse just said, that there are times that I'm praising God with this mouth, and then there are times that I am saying things to people that I'm supposed to love the most that should not be coming out of this mouth. And so this is one of those topics where I go, okay, they struggle with this. I struggle with this. My guess is I'm not alone in this struggle of feeling like, man, how is it that we can say something this way and then say something that way out of the same mouth? Like how in the world does that happen? Have you ever done that? Have you ever said something only, you know, kind of out of the moment of anger later to go, man, where did that come from? And the truth is, where it comes from is not all that big of a mystery. In fact, Jesus would tell us, I can tell you exactly where those words came from. And so here's the question I want to answer on the outline. Why do we have this struggle? Why do we find ourselves in these situations? Here's why. Because our tongue is really a heart problem. I'm going to show you in the words of Jesus that Jesus is not at all surprised. If you were to say, man, I don't know why I said that, Jesus would go, I'll tell you why you said that. Because what came out of here was actually already in here. What you said was already in your heart. Jesus teaches that our heart is actually the source of our mouth. Look at his words in verses 44 through 45 of Luke 6. Jesus said, you can know a tree by the fruit it bears. You don't find figs on a thorn bush and you don't pick grapes from a briar bush. He's saying the same thing James said. Chances are James heard his half-brother Jesus teach this in person. And then when he wrote his book, he's going, I remember when Jesus taught this, and he's building on the same thing Jesus said. And Jesus said, it's the same with people. A person full of goodness in his, say that word out loud, heart produces good things. A person with an evil reservoir in his pours out evil things. The heart overflows in the words a person speaks. Your words reveal what's within your heart. You need to understand, whenever the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not talking about what pumps our blood through the system, but it's using it as a metaphor to explain the same thing. Just like if your heart is damaged, eventually the rest of your body is going to be damaged if it's not working correctly. When the Bible uses the word heart, it's talking about the spiritual hub where all the other spokes of life are connected to. Another way to say it is the seat of our emotions, the place from which all life is lived. And what Jesus is teaching and what James is saying in those writings is that if you want to respond with the right words, you've got to have a right heart. That if you want to speak words of life, you need to have a whole healthy heart, because that's where it comes from. Pay attention to what is influencing your heart, because eventually it will come out in the way that we live. And so another great question to consider when it comes to looking at our heart is simply this: what has our attention? Because go ahead and write this down. What I see and what I hear and what I experience influences my heart. What I see and what I hear and what I experience influences my heart. And this is something I think most of us forget, and here's why. Because we live in this modern, westernized culture right now that we are obsessed with entertainment and constant access of information coming at us all the time. And I would actually say that I think we have a greater struggle with having a healthy heart because of our entertainment-driven access to information culture that we live in now that they didn't have. And so I'm not saying at all that, well, then that means we get, you know, we're off the hook on this one. No, we're not. It just means we need to protect and guard what comes in our heart a little closer. Because I think a lot of us, we're surprised when certain things come out of our mouth, or we're surprised when we act a certain way. But we've been basically taking anything culture gives us when it comes to, you know, entertainment and ways of thinking, and those things are seeds that get planted in our heart, and then we're surprised all of a sudden by the way that we act, when we've been taking all of these things in. And what Jesus is saying, he's like, you better be real careful what gets in here, because eventually what you see and what you hear is going to take root in your heart. And it's going to come out in the way that you speak, in the way that you treat other people. Let me just give you one example of this unfiltered access to information, and also something that in large parts of our culture is seen as okay. It's just, you know, your kind of private thing that I think puts evil in hearts that then when it manifests itself, we're, as a culture, we're like, what's the problem? Where did this come from? I think all you have to do is look up at an epidemic on our college campuses in America that at unprecedented rates have had a third of all women in college campuses have experienced a sexual assault in one way or another. Could there be a correlation between all of the young men that are now in colleges grew up with unfiltered access to pornography at their fingertips 24 hours a day? Could it be that putting those things inside of your heart, objectifying women, looking at them as only a means to an end for your own gratification, could make you act out in other ways? Absolutely, there's a correlation to those things. And so what Jesus would say to us at every level would just be, you better be real careful what you're letting in your eye, and you better be real careful what you're letting in your ear, because eventually those things are going to take root in your heart. And you live out of your heart. The way that you see other people will be influenced by what you let in your heart. The way that you view yourself will be influenced by what you let in your heart. This is why the wisdom in Proverbs tells us this. Proverbs chapter 4. I want us to read just the first two little phrases there together out loud. Proverbs 4:23. Here's what it says. Ready, begin. Above all else, watch over your heart. Stop right there. Some of you were excited. You were with me. You're like, I'm going to keep reading. Above all else, watch over your heart. The most important thing, guard it, protect it, be aware of seeds that are being planted in it. Because if you let it in there, if you just take whatever culture throws at you, it's putting seeds in your heart, and you keep going down it, it's watering those seeds, and those things are beginning to take in root, and your heart is the place from which all life is lived. And so what Jesus is saying, what James is saying, what the wisdom of this proverb is saying, is that you better be aware of what's in your heart. And so that leads to this question. And there's not a fill in here, but it's something I just want you to consider. What is already stored up in your heart? Are there things in your heart that you haven't dealt with? Are there some plants in there that have taken root because of things that you let through your eye and you let into your ear that you would say, man, I need to take those things out. I need to stop giving those access to my heart. I want to show you some statements that I think will help you understand this idea of how our words are connected to our heart. And I'm going to call it a little heart checkup, okay? I want you to just do a little checkup on yourself by looking at what's in your heart based on the words that come out of your mouth. I didn't come up with this list. I found it. But as I read through it earlier this week, there were a few of them that I said, ooh, the reason I say things like that is because there's something in here that I haven't dealt with yet. And so I'm going to show you some of these, and I want you to look at it and see if it reveals maybe something that's in your heart, and then I'm going to give you just a couple simple ways that you can have a healthy heart starting this week, okay? So let me show you these. Here we go. A heart filled with guilt speaks angry words, but a heart filled with forgiveness speaks gracious words. See the difference? And this is one of those things, if you've read Scripture, you've been around here for years, you know, Scripture talks about this one over and over again. To the measure that we realize how much we've been forgiven by God, how much grace He's given for us, as we realize, like in our sin, in our rebellion against God, He still forgave us. That as we realize that, to the depths that we realize that, we will then be able to offer forgiveness to others. You can speak gracious words even to people that hurt you when you realize how much you've been forgiven. That if your heart is whole and you're like, wow, thank you, Lord, it's going to change the way that you speak. But if your heart is filled with guilt, or you could even add shame in there, there's undealt with kind of sin issues, things that you know, that kind of heart speaks angry words. Here's another one. A heart filled with entitlement speaks complaining words, but a heart filled with gratitude speaks uplifting words. Now, let me just remind you, as we go through those, through these, no elbowing, all right? Like this is not like, honey, this one's for you, okay? Or some of you parents, I know what you were thinking. You were like, my teenager needs to be in here for this one, right? No, this is you. You do your own heart check right now, okay? This is you in Jesus time. But for some of you, you just realize, why is it that that person is always complaining in the office? You know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, sadly, it's probably you, okay? But if you know who I'm talking about, that person that feels like they deserve something, but they haven't even earned it. That sense of entitlement. Like, well, I should have that. And anybody that says that, their words are always going to be complaining because they're living out of this wounded heart. But a heart filled with gratitude, somebody that's so thankful, whether they have a lot or a little, a person that lives out of that space, they're going to be speaking uplifting words because they're already grateful. It's not about them. Here's another one. A heart filled with bitterness speaks harsh words. A heart filled with peace speaks tender words. A way that we've said this around here for years is that hurt people, right? And here's what I know. For some of you, the reason maybe that you would say your heart is damaged, it's not what you put in there, it's what somebody else put in there. And they wronged you, they hurt you, they took advantage of you. They spoke negative words into your life that you needed to not hear that were not true. But those things take root. And often out of our own pain, we cause pain. But a heart filled with peace, at peace with itself, at peace with God, at peace with its story, speaks tender words. Here's another one. A heart filled with rejection speaks resentful words, but a heart filled with acceptance speaks kind words. Another one. A heart filled with condemnation speaks judgmental words. And again, you could maybe say a heart filled with shame or a heart filled with unconfessed sin, but a heart filled with love speaks compassionate words. Is there one more? Last one. A heart filled with jealousy speaks words of gossip, but a heart filled with contentment speaks words of blessing. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody at any of our churches or patios or parent viewing rooms watching this has said, you know what? I want to be the people up here, right? Nobody wants to be the complainer, the gossip, the harsh, the bitter. Nobody says that. I think all of us want to be people that go, yeah, I want to speak tender, kind, loving, compassionate words of blessing in life. I want to do that. So how is it done? Like how do we actually change the way that we speak this week? Like how do we make sure that it's better? Here's our bottom line. Go ahead and write this down. Here's how it's done. Bottom line is that behavior modification must come from heart renovation. In other words, if you want to say and speak the right things, you want to speak words of life and blessing to people in your home, on your job, your friendship circles, on your campus, like if you want to be that kind of person, it has to come from a whole, healthy heart. Now listen to me, behavior modification is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. If you are saying hurtful things or doing hurtful things to others and yourself, or to yourself, you should stop. But behavior modification, just trying harder. We talked about this in our Stop Start series. Like just going, I'm going to stop doing this. Without heart renovation will only lead to frustration because you will not be able to do it. And that's the point Jesus was making, that our words come from our heart. It has to work itself from the inside out. This is the way that following Jesus works. Like you got to let him all in this and own it and have it and just say, all right, Lord, I'm just going to constantly be an open book before you. And then let him begin to change you. And as that happens, it works its way out. And so here's, real quick, here's two steps you can take this week to having a healthy heart. How can you get heart renovation? Two things you need to understand. When I am healed, my words heal. And so here's my application step for you. Deal with what's in your heart. Confess it to God. Stop justifying it. Stop acting like it's no big deal. Find a trusted friend and go, dude, here's what I've been doing. Here's what I've been letting in my eyes. Here's what I've been letting in my ears. Because those unconfessed, undealt with things, man, they work their way out here. Some of you, maybe it's not a confessing thing that you need to do, but it's a change what's going in thing. Some of you, you need to change what you listen to. You need to change what you watch. You need to change what you read. You need to change the circles of conversations that you're having at school, you know, in the break room, in the office. And you just need to say, I need to stop letting that in here, because eventually it gets in here. Because when I am healed, when my heart is whole, then I can speak words that will heal. And then here's the second step you can actually take this week. When I am fed, my words will feed. Let God's word be what is feeding your soul and your heart. Change the influence. Don't let just today be the only time. We talked about this in the summer during our 40 days in the Word, that this is alive, it's active, it's powerful. It has the ability to change us from the inside out. Don't let today be the only moment that you let this influence your heart. So for some of you, man, read it this week. Change the music you listen to. For some of you, here would be a simple step that I think could change a whole lot for you. Quit listening to what you've been listening to, because you know, I think a lot of times that whole idea of this is not how it should be, we come into church and we're singing songs about what Jesus has done for us, what he accomplished for us through the cross. And then, you know, on our way home or on Monday, we're listening to songs on the radio that celebrate the very sins that Jesus died for. And then we think that that's not going to affect our heart. And so here would be a simple one. This week, just listen to worship music. And if you're like, what is that? That's the stuff that we were singing up here earlier. They're really prayers. And so if you're like, I don't even know where to buy that stuff. We put our playlist on the e-devotional every single week. And it's connected to albums. You can just download it from iTunes. And see if letting this in here changes what comes out of here. Others of you, man, the reason that kind of you kind of vomit words on people sometimes, here's why. You're so stressed out. What you need to do this week is restore your soul by giving yourself some margin. You need to take some quiet, stillness, maybe a little bit of solitude, so that you're not on the edge when you get home every day or when you're in the office. And you need to work and live from a whole healthy heart, not a stressed heart. And so here's what we're gonna do right now. We're gonna practice a little silence and solitude right now. And I'm gonna give us about 30 seconds, and here's what I want you to do. Give yourself a heart check. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to you today, that there were one of those things that were on the screen that were for you, because there were two for me. And which one of those would you say, man, Lord, forgive me, heal me, and feed my soul this week? Because if this is better, these will be better. So I want you to close your eyes right where you're at. And I want us to take what's going to be an uncomfortable 20 to 30 seconds of silence. And I want you to do a little heart check and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. God, I pray that you would help us this week to quiet our soul, our inner self, our inner being. God, I pray that you would heal our hearts. I pray you would help us do some weeding to pull out some influences that we've been letting in through our eyes and our ears. And that this week you would help us change the way we speak by living out of a better heart. And God, I pray that we would help you, that we would open that center place of our life to you, that we would feed our soul this week, that we would this week at our schools, on our jobs, in our homes, speak words of life and blessing. And help us do that through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.